1 Peter 1, verse 18. What we don't get finished today, it's like Brother May said, my sermons are like sticks of bologna. You can cut them off at either end and they're still good in the middle. Some of these young folks don't know what a stick of bologna is. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. If you found your place, say amen.
Amen.
Let's stand for a minute. Stretch your legs, also reverence the Word of God. If you can, if it's too difficult to get up and down, I understand that. Follow me along. Forasmuch as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. But everybody say this verse with me. But with the what?
Precious blood.
But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Church, say this with me. I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell them, I am redeemed.
I am redeemed.
By the blood of the Lamb.
By the blood of the Lamb.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, church. You be seated. We started last Sunday with this verse, precious in His sight. You are precious to the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been bought with the most costly thing known to man. We have been bought with the blood of the Lamb. We've not been bought with silver and gold, those things in which man craves and desires and kills and steals for, but we have been bought with something more precious than gold or silver. We have been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. Jesus thought enough of us that He was willing to give His blood so that He could redeem us from the enemy. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
My friend, this morning, what does that mean? I have been redeemed. What does it mean, this precious blood? We tried to illustrate that last Sunday. You notice I don't have my Coca-Cola bottle back with me. How many of you were here last Sunday? Amen. I was afraid somebody might get it, Daryl, so I took it home. I illustrated it last Sunday with a brand new bottle of Coca-Cola that had not been opened, and versus an old 1914 empty brown bottle. And people said, I'd rather have the empty brown bottle that's 104 years old. Why? Because it is rare, right? You don't see one of those every day. I like some bottles, you know, but you don't see one of those every day. It is precious, of great value. It is of great worth. It is very valuable. And here it is much, highly valuable, much esteemed. Something that is precious simply means it is rare. It is costly. It is valuable. It is a one of a kind.
Amen.
And the blood is not like human blood. It's not like the blood that you and I have. It is the blood of the Father. It is the blood of the Lamb. It is the blood of Jesus. It is a costly commodity. We are worth the blood of the Lamb. The reason why many people today do not value themselves is because they do not value the blood of the Lamb. They don't value Christ. If you don't value Christ, then it's hard to have a value of yourself. But thank God, He redeemed us by His precious blood. A blood, my friend, not like our blood, but the Father's blood. Turn with me, please, this morning, James chapter 5 for a minute. Listen to this verse as you're turning. 1 Peter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. Now, the world doesn't regard Jesus as being precious. The world says to you today, there are many ways to heaven. But again, I thank God for the testimony of Billy Graham, for the people that had a part of his funeral, and they proclaim this, that the only way that you're ever going to get to heaven is through the Lord Jesus Christ and by his precious blood. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you put money in the offering plate, that's not going to buy you eternal life. Coming to church is not going to buy you eternal life. But when you come to the realization that the Lamb of God, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, went to Calvary, Daryl, and he died in your place, he died in my place, he took our sins on him, and he paid for our sins, past, present, and future. He is precious.
Amen.
Amen. I don't have to go to hell. You don't have to go to hell. Now look in James 5, 7. This word precious. There's another thing that the Bible mentions that's precious. And we'll get back to the blood in just a minute, Lord willing. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of our Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Most of us in this room today would want Jesus to come back, would you not?
Amen, yes.
Some people say, I wish Jesus would go ahead and come back and take me home out of this, all this good song you sing, brother. Take me home out of all this sin, all this sickness, and especially if you owe money to the bank, you say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. The truth is that he is coming again.
Amen.
You say, preacher, these preachers have been preaching that for a long, long time. The Bible says here in James 5, 7, he will come again. But James says this, you need to be patient. Now, we don't need to be lazy. We need to be patient. The husbandman or the farmer is waiting for that precious fruit to ripen. Any of y'all ever buy green bananas? that's what you find today, ain't it? But sometimes the outside begins, it looks like it's ripening. And have you ever taken a green banana and peeled it and bit into it and it was hard as a rock? It wasn't ripe. Have you ever tried to eat a plum, not a plum, but something like nectarine. Yeah, well, I'm getting close. I know my fruits. Hey, man. I bought some in the store before and got them home, and they look so good, and you bite into it, and it's hard as a rock. It's not ripe. And the Bible says here that the farmer, being the Lord Jesus Christ, is waiting for the fruit to ripen.
Yes.
What is the fruit? You are the fruit.
Amen.
The precious fruit. I have said this as an illustration before. Sometimes we get very impatient in dealing with people about salvation. I have been guilty of that, Brother Darrell. I have been in my past, in my younger days. If I were to come to your house and you were not saved, I wouldn't leave until I got a profession out of you. I had enough salesman in me that I would try to persuade you. And many times, Brother Steve, I do believe this. People made a profession of faith just to get rid of me. But it wasn't real. But you know what I have found, Brother Jeffrey? is that when the fruit gets ripe, it falls off of the vine. When it is unripened, you got to tug at it and you got to pull at it. But when the fruit is ripe, then it falls right off the vine. Be patient. What is he saying to us here? There is still a multitude of people that need to be saved before Jesus comes. Because when Jesus comes, hear me, church, it's all over. You don't get a second chance. You don't get to pass go. You don't get a get out of jail free card. When Jesus comes, it's all over. If you're hearing my voice today, it's going to be all over for you. You say, I'll get saved later. No, you won't. Not according to my Bible. No, you won't. No, you won't. There'll be people who get saved in the tribulation, but there's people that have never, ever heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But here, look what James is saying. He is saying that the farmer, the husbandman, is waiting patiently for the precious fruit. I am not a farmer, by the way. Some of you are. I tried growing some radishes when I was a kid. It just didn't work out. And so from that time, I just don't plant anything. I go down to the farmer's market, or either I'll find out who's got a garden and then beg them for some tomatoes. Make them feel sorry for me. But I am not a farmer. But here, you and I both have known what it is to have unripened fruit, and that's what James is talking about. He said that the fruit here is the fruit of people, and according to James, the farmer is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Why hadn't Jesus come before now? Because, thank God, if he had come before now, them 600 Muslims over yonder in India wouldn't have got saved. All those Koreans wouldn't have got saved. All those across the world wouldn't have got saved. And he's still waiting. Why? For the precious fruit to ripen. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be fantastic? Wouldn't it be great that if the last soul that was ever saved might be right here, right in this service, and then Jesus is going to come back? I believe when the last soul is saved, he's coming back. Now watch this. James 5:7. He speaks there about the early rain and the latter rain. What does that mean? Well, again, I'm not a farmer, but reading up on this, the early rain helps the seed to germinate. Mature seeds oftentimes are extremely dry, and they have to take in a lot of water for them to germinate. When you go and buy a packet of seeds, they give you instructions on how to plant those seeds. You don't walk out on a hard, crusty ground and throw the seed out and expect to have a harvest. What do you usually have to do if you've got a hard ground that's been laying? Brother Reese, he's a good farmer. But what do you have to do to that ground? You have to get it ready, don't you? How do you get, you what? You till it up. You break it up. The hard, crusty ground, you got to break it up. You got to soften it up. And then you put the seed in. And once you put the seed in, then the rain comes, the early rain. And that seed down in the soil, it begins to germinate. It breaks out of its pod. It begins to make some sprouts. It begins to make some roots. And then it begins to grow and breaks through the soil. And this is where the latter rain comes in. Everybody knows you need water for the seed to germinate, but you need water for the seed to grow. And what is James telling us here? This is how people need to accept the Word of God. Listen, church, you're sitting here this morning. Next Sunday morning, we start Jubilee. It will be, I think, one of the greatest times in the history of this church. I'm looking forward to God doing something. But now, friend, you can either sit there this morning with your heart cold and hard and crusty, or you can say, "Dear God, send the rain. Dear God, break up the fallow ground. Dear God, soften this old cold heart of mine. Dear God, next Sunday, may I get something out of the message. May I get my life rededicated. May I get a new spark, a new zeal, a new desire. May I go out with a new fervor in my soul, realizing that the last soul that gets saved, it may be the one that I tell about Jesus." Oh, glory to God.
Amen.
And so the early rain germinates the seed, but the latter rain makes it grow. Listen to what Joel 2:23 says. "Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month." Question, church, when was the last time that you felt the presence of God? Oh, you might say, "Preacher, I felt it this morning." Praise the Lord. Amen. But when was the last time that you bask in his presence? When's the last time that you enjoyed just you and God fellowshipping, walking together, listening and praying and talking? Unlike a natural farmer who has to watch the weather and pray for the sweet rain on his crops, all you and I have to do is stop and pray. And guess what? God will send the rain. And I'm praying that this morning, that the rain start this morning, may it break up our cold, hard hearts. And may today be a day of germination where the seed falls deep, where the seed begins to grow. And we say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you have for me, I want all the blessings. I want all the blessings you have for me."
Amen, yes.
The problem is, people don't always know how to receive it. For instance, a person may be dry and in certainly need of spiritual rain, yet they remain dry. Why? It's not because of God. It's not because you don't want to send the rain. It's not because God doesn't respond to their plea. It's because they don't meet the requirements. Have you ever noticed, by the way, there's two or three umbrellas out there, and if you left one during this monsoon season we had, it's still there for a short time. Then after that, I'm going to put my name on them. Amen. I'm giving you ample opportunity. There's one nice one out there. Ask Brother Steve, was it his? He said it wasn't his. Anyway, you know what our problem is? Have you ever watched a little old young'un when the rain comes? What do they want to do?
They
want to go play in it, don't they? Us adults, we got the hairspray on. We got our clothes. Well, some of us got hairspray on. We got the hairspray on. We got ourselves fixed up. And the first thing we want is open up that umbrella. Shield us from the water. Them little youngins, they want to get out and stomp in them mud puddles. They want to get out and play in the rain. They want that rain to fall and get them soaking wet. And friend, can I say, that's what you and I as Christians need to do today. Close the umbrella up. Quit hindering the Spirit of God. Just say, "God, open my heart. I want the rain from heaven. I want the Holy Dew. I want to be anointed by God. I want to feel your presence. I want to enjoy your blessings."
Yes.
He'll do it if you meet the requirements. What do you say, "Preacher, what are them requirements?" Well, sometimes people among believers, sometimes they seek God for healing and refreshing because they've been hurt, they've been wounded, and they don't realize the very condition is what's hindering them from getting a blessing. Many people think, and church, listen to me just for a few minutes here. Some people think that forgiveness is something that comes naturally. It does not come naturally. Forgiveness, that is simply God working in your life and my life for His glory. Forgiveness. If you don't get anything else, here it is. Forgiveness is an act of your will. When Jesus hung on the cross and Jesus was beaten and Jesus was scourged and Jesus' blood was shed on the cross, He looked down and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they did." Now let me ask you a question. Did we deserve forgiveness? No, we deserve death and hell. But God, through Jesus, forgave us of all our sins. Say amen, church. Not because we deserve it, but because of His great mercy. And friend, this morning, you may have somebody in your life that's hurt you. Somebody that has lied about you. Somebody has trespassed against you. Somebody that's hurt you deeply. You're hindering your umbrella. Close the umbrella. Enjoy the blessings of God. But you've got to be able to forgive them for what they've done.
Amen.
People hurt you. They'll talk about you. They'll criticize you. They'll lie about you. Family members, church members. It don't matter. People at work. People on the job, people down in the gym. I mean, listen, friend, there's people that will hurt you and stab you in the back. But listen, if you want God's blessing on your life, the first thing you got to do is say, "Father, forgive them. Forgive them." And then you got to go to that person and say, "Listen, I want to let you know something. I've asked God, forgive me for the hard feelings I've had towards you. And now I'm asking you, would you forgive me for the hard feelings I've had?" Friend, if you're not willing to do that, you're just closing up heaven. You're closing up the blessings of God. And that ground is getting harder and harder and harder. But oh, listen, when we close the umbrella and we say, "God, forgive them. God, forgive me." And friend, then the rains of heaven can come and soak our old crusty bodies. Have a revival. No person, and I mean no person, feels like forgiven. It's a defense mechanism. We're made that way. Somebody hurt you, you want to hurt them. Y'all never had that to happen, have you? I tell too many true stories. I tell them myself now. When I was a kid, Brother Steve, y'all are going to think my parents were rich. My daddy started off pretty poor, and he wasn't rich, but he didn't do without anything. And so when we lived in Raleigh, our daddy joined the Lakemont Swim Club for me, so that they could teach me how to swim. I'm being honest with you right now. I know I was probably, let's see, maybe 8 or 9 years old, maybe. So I would go to the swim club, to the pool. I had my little shorts and little triangular patch, Lakemont, you know. And I'd go in there, and I'd take swimming lessons. Then after swimming lessons, Mom would come pick me up sometime later on, but I'd stay there and play and, you know, enjoy the water and all that kind of good stuff. Well, one day, these group of boys, they approached me, and they beat me up in the locker room. Made me mad. In fact, y'all gonna... I plotted how I could get back at them. I thought about that a long time. I don't mean fisticuffs. I mean, son, I was going, yeah, I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Here's my point. Everybody has a group of boys that's beat them up in the locker room. Maybe not physically, but somebody's beat you up. And it's a defense mechanism. Put out the umbrella. Put out the umbrella. Sometimes we put out the umbrella. We say, I'm not going to get close to nobody else. I'm not going to let that happen to me again. I'll go to church. I'll sit on a pew. I'll put my tithes in the plate. But that's it, preacher. I don't want to get involved. I don't want to sing in the choir. I don't want to teach a class. I've been hurt. And I don't want that to happen again. Friend, listen. Close your umbrella and get the blessings of God.
Amen.
Let the sweet dew of heaven fall. Second of all, disobedience is another hindrance to God's presence. How can God give you instruction when you continue to disobey Him? I don't know about y'all, but it's that still, small voice of God. And I'm confessing this morning. Y'all forgive me. My wife told me this morning, and I agree with her. She said, you need to watch your temper. I do. We pulled through Burger King. And I got my cup of coffee and I got my wife a Diet Coke. And when I went to reach for that Diet Coke, now Brother Steve, you got khaki pants, I got khaki pants on. When I reached for that Diet Coke, she hadn't put the lid on it real good. And so when I grabbed the Diet Coke, it spewed. I mean, the top popped off of it. I wasn't so worried about the truck, but it went all over my khaki pants. And I got mad. My wife said, it's going to be all right. You can clean it off when you get down to church. And you know what my response was? It wasn't kind. I said, I got to wear these all day long. I got Coke on them. They ain't going to come out. Brother Steve, right then and there, I realized, and I'm telling myself, I had already got a track out, and I was going to give to that lady. But when that happened, I put the track back. Guilty. You know what I did right then and there? I closed my umbrella. No, excuse me. I opened my umbrella. And I had to get that umbrella back before I come down here. Friend, disobedience, unforgiveness is going to stop the blessings of God in your life. Don't raise your hand. It's a foolish question. But how many of you want God's blessing on your life? Say amen. Here's the first step. We're going to have to end this. First step is this. And I'm preaching on the blood, so we hadn't even got to the blood. But we're going to get to that, maybe even tonight. I don't know. We'll wait and see. Here's the thing. If you want God's blessing, you can come in here next Sunday morning, and you can sit down, and you can say, preacher, I'm here, but I've had a rough week. The devil's fought me tooth and toenail. The kids have been sick. I got reprimanded at work. This happened to me. That happened to me. Preacher, I'm here for Jubilee. And guess what?
That sounds like one of my days.
Close your umbrella. Let God have His sweet dew of heaven to fall on this old, hard, crusty heart. Do you want God's blessing?
Amen.
Brother D.R. can't bring it. Cody can't bring it. Eric and Laura, as good as singers they are, they can't bring it. You know what can do it? We're willing to shut our umbrella. And we're saying, get out there and play in the rain. And say, Lord, send the rain. Send the rain. Send the rain. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Miss Bonnie. It's last Sunday morning service before these preachers will be coming in. As your pastor, I try to bring in men that will help the church. I try to bring in people that will be a blessing. I try to bring in anointed singers and preachers. There's a lot of different preachers and singers out yonder, but if they don't have the power of God on them, then I'm not going to invite them to be a part of this. I want God to open the windows of heaven. On these little cards that we have made up, Hosea 10:12 says, "Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you." I wonder, church, how many of you, I would pray that all of you would find a place around this altar on this front pew and say, "Dear God, if there's any hard, crusty ground, close the umbrella, send the dew of heaven. I may need to go to somebody and ask for forgiveness this week. I may need to get right with God this week. My anger's got out of hand. Maybe you've been having marital problems, family problems, and this and that. And would you say this morning, "Dear Lord God, I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm going to forgive them that have hurt me, talked about me, used me. Lord, I want to receive a blessing of God. I'm closing the umbrella. I'm closing it this morning. Send the rain. Send the rain. Lord, we're dry and we're dusty. We're hard. We're calloused. We go through the motions without the presence and power of God, and it don't have to be that way. You stand ready this morning to anoint us with the dew of heaven, the sweet Holy Ghost of God, power in our lives. May we be willing to open our hearts and say, "Dear Lord, search me, try me, O God." Our heads are bowed, let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. While these are beginning to come, I'm not looking up, but I can hear the footsteps. I wonder, will you join them today? Would you just say, "Preacher, I want God to bless me. God to bless my family. God to save my loved ones. Speak to my children. Speak to my family members. Lord, may they be ripened fruit this week, this coming week. May they fall off the vine. Come under Holy Ghost conviction. Power and presence of God be so real when they walk in the back doors of this church, they would feel an unseen power. In Jesus' name. Amen." Would you join them? Stand to your feet, please. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge. She's going to play one stanza, and I'm not going to sing. Here's what I want you to do. If you're serious, would you come, stand, sit, kneel, and say, "Dear God, open my heart." You say, "Preacher, I just came and I went back to my seat." Would you mind coming back? We're going to have a prayer this morning together as a church. You say, "I'm not a member of this church." That's all right. You come on. "Dear God, open my heart. I want the sweet dew of heaven to fall. I want to see God move in these services. I want to see God anoint these men. I want to see God work in my family. I want to see my husband saved, my wife, my loved ones, my son, my daughter. I want to see you work at Harmony Baptist Church. Here I am, Lord. Don't let me be the one that would hinder your presence. Open my heart that I might receive the blessings of God." Would you come right now? Wait just a moment. We're going to have a word of prayer. Would you come?
Open my heart, dear Lord. Open my heart. Open my heart. Sweet dew of heaven, follow me. Break up that old cold, crusty ground. We'll wait just a moment while she plays. If you're coming, come on. Don't leave. Don't go back. Just come. Now let's pray together. Would you, those of you down here, and I'm not even looking, but those of you down here, would you join, try to join in a big old circle, just join hands with somebody if you're kneeling, if you're standing. And what, the Bible said, whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And I'm praying that we would bind Satan in Jesus' name, and that deliverance would be set for the captives. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you today. Lord, humbly we bow in your presence. God, I didn't get to the part I wanted to get to today, but Lord, you had other plans. Thank you, Lord, for the good testimonies. God, thank you for moving on our hearts, for the good singing. Lord, I do pray right now, forgive us, Lord, of this old, cold, hard, crusty ground. We go through the motions, Heavenly Father, and yet, Lord, we can leave you out of everything. Open our hearts, Holy Spirit of God. May the sweet dew of heaven fall. Anoint us afresh and anew. Lord, let it not be just another series of meetings, but do something special. Save those that's lost. Reclaim the backslider. Set deliverance for the captive. And Father, we will praise you. We'll glorify you. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said,